The Rice Ricky Sanchez podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Sign up for DraftKings Sportsbook by using promo code RTRS and brought to you by L. Alpavorsky Jewelers, where Rice Ricky Sanchez listeners go and get engaged. Big Barker Therapeutic Dog Beds. Get yours at bigbarker.com/Ricky. Kornblau and Kornblau, the official law firm of the process. And Kinetic Skateboarding, get 9.1% off your first order with promo code Dave Silver. On the show today, huge story, the Sixers sign Ricky Council the fourth for 4 years. We will talk about that. Of course, the Sixers end the season with 47 wins and in the seventh position. As we are recording this pod, we actually do not know who they would play if they win that first playing game. So we will find that out. Also, a big congrats to Tobias Harris. We will talk about that as he sets, I guess, NBA, not a record, but, you know, makes NBA history. And a guy in a Ricky hat wins season tickets to the 76ers. We'll talk about that as well. I did mention Kinetic, and I always mention Kinetic, and I mention stuff that you can get at Kinetic and not anywhere else. I saw these on their Twitter, at Kinetic Skate, the New Balance 440 V2X VU Skate Shops. Now, I'm a New Balance guy anyway. I have a couple of the New Balance basketball shoes, but these are pretty slick. They actually look like the 991s, just more sleek, I think, a little bit. They're pretty sick. You can get them at kineticskateboarding.com, and you can search all their awesome gear and sneakers that you can't find anywhere else. By the way, use promo code Dave Silver for 9.1% off your first order. And we always do a playoff shirt, and we are doing a playoff shirt again. Look at it. Oh, it's beautiful. It is in the style of legendary punk band. I won't say the band so we don't get a cease and desist, but it is very, very cool. In fact, Mike, I heard from Twitter follower Allie. She was at a Sixers meet and greet yesterday. She showed it to Kelly Oubre, who asked for a link to purchase one.
Wow.
We're going to send one to Oubre anyway, but if you want to get this one and look at it, if you're not looking at it right, we'll put a link in the description, but you got to order by Monday at midnight because they are a pre-order so we can get them to you in time. The year, it says on there. So go to RightsRickySanchez.com. Thanks to Shibe Vintage Sports, who is now our merch partner, who gets them printed for us and sells them for us and all that kind of crap. And final thing, if you're watching on YouTube, this is the time to be a YouTube person as we are live on YouTube and Twitch after every playoff game. If you're watching right now on YouTube, please subscribe and then turn on notifications. That way you will get the little alert that we are live. Once again, YouTube, make sure you subscribe. Do us a favor. Without any further ado, Amos and the Chef. Welcome to the Rice Ricky Sanchez podcast. I'm Spike Eskin, along with a guy who has his priorities in order, didn't even watch the game today. That is one Mike Levin.
Didn't need it.
Yeah.
I play the game. Yeah. If it's the ultimate game, I ask you.
why are they playing it again next year?
That's so right. What a fucking, I'm hot. I did play basketball instead of watching the Sixers. I have not showered because the Nets laid down.
I don't play like that.
Sorry.
I thought we already did that.
I'm pretty intense.
Well, but it's
Mike
in the
playing basketball. Sure. Mike playing
filter.
Basketball. I'm in my prime. Honestly,
sign me. Thought I'd have enough time to shower and still watch some of the game. I did not. I am easily the sweatiest I've ever been for a podcast.
Wow.
It's a good thing we have the HD camera for that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Siege.
Shirt off. Do the pod with no shirt. Cool down. Let's go.
Oh boy. This is a new shirt. I didn't play in a shirt. I'd switched before. But the pants are still the pants. So that's more of the danger area. Mm-hmm. What a ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous, embarrassing tank job from
The Bucks.
The Bucks?
The Cavs.
The Cavs?
Yep.
The Knicks are putting up a fight. It's actually a tie game with 35 seconds left.
They're trying to win. They're trying. It looks like the Knicks are trying to win.
Maybe just we should just pause and watch the rest of this game, because if the Knicks win this game, Bulls ball, I have it at 29 seconds. Then if the Knicks win this game, then the Knicks would be the 2 seed.
Yep.
If the Knicks lose this game, then the Bucks would be the 2 seed.
Correct. Who do you want before this happens? If we are, in fact, the 7 seed. We start as the 7 seed, but we could end up as the 8 seed. Yada, yada.
Fuck Doc Rivers. Fuck Dame Lillard.
There you go.
What an embarrassing organization now.
Yep.
Dame shot 2 of 13 from the field in the last game.
By the way, they
tried.
They played all those. They only played 8 guys. They played like 7 guys.
I don't know.
I think they tried. I think they might just stink.
Embarrassing. Embarrassing for Pat Bev.
Yep.
Minus 20 in those minutes. If you think that you're like the guy to solve winning for everybody, inserting Pat Bev into the starting lineup was Doc's last minute move. That's going to do it. Hey, I'm Doc Rivers here. I'm going to surprise you with my strategy. It's play a veteran more, play the oldest guy on the team. Go figure. That's the strategy. Doc, genius. Embarrassing. And it's embarrassing for Pat that they didn't do it. It's embarrassing for the entire organization that they lost this game and are trying to avoid, either whether they're trying to avoid the Sixers or the Heat, or they are just backing into sucking, then fuck them. And I was so right about Dame, dude. I was so right about Dame. That what an like letting go of Drew makes their defense way worse. He's taken a step back this year. The step back is going to continue going forward. Gabe Vincent played like 4 games this year, so I don't know that that's going to hold.
But certainly
better than. I mean, he was hurt the whole year, so whatever. But I would still in 2.5 seasons take Gabe Vincent over Dame Lillard. Absolutely, absolutely.
Do you want to give us play by play? Okay, so it's 13.9 seconds left.
Oh wait, you're ahead of me. I'm watching on my phone, and you're in the New York area, so don't spoil it.
I'm not watching the game. I'm just refreshing the ESPN website.
Okay, DeRozan. Fade away, blocked. Nice play by Ananobi. I would rather play the Bucks. I would rather play the Bucks.
Yeah.
Because like at least the Knicks try, and I have a respect for Knicks fans. Not that I don't have respect for Bucks fans. That would just be a bruising series against the Knicks. But also, I mean, the Sixers could lose. You know, they're hosting right now. They're going to host Miami on Wednesday night. Because the Flyers have a home game, which is such a funny reason for the NBA to change their entire schedule. Usually the 7-8 seed plays on Tuesday, and then the 9-10 game is on Wednesday, so that the 7-8 seed have an extra day of rest if they lose. But thanks to our Philadelphia Flyers, the entire NBA has to change their schedule. It's just a bummer that the Sixers won 8 games in a row and they don't
get the 6 seed.
They don't get the 6 seed because it's
honestly pretty outrageous that I was looking at I know this is not deep analysis, but I was looking at the record. The fact that they won 47 games when Embiid missed almost 9 weeks is pretty crazy.
Yeah. I mean, the losses to the Nets and the Grizzlies,
they suck.
Remind you, like when you lose, when you're about to miss a full spot in the playoffs by one game or a tie, That is the thing that really sticks with you, of the kind of things where you're like, man, if they'd only these couple moments here and there, the ref calls, everything. That is why, like,
we Maxie as much doesn't as get the concussion.
Yeah, I mean that is why, like, every moment, after every regular season game in November and January and whatever, you go like, that's why I'm mad because it comes back to get you in times like this. All right, here we go.
Sound like we're sort of like, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? We're stalling to find out. Oh, it's fucking in overtime.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. You're,
I'm watching the game on my phone, so I'm about to. All right, so Jalen Brunson, Caruso on him.
I can tell you what's going to happen.
No, I don't want to know. I'm watching it. Caruso on him. Here comes up. Sets a ghost screen. No, it's Brunson ISO, Caruso all over him. What defense, man? Brunson has to take a really tough shot. Oh, it rims out. That was a really tough shot from the corner, even to get rim, and it rimmed out almost over. All right.
So let's start on a Sixers thing, and then we'll get.
If you're
to playoffs.
Listening to this podcast like on Monday, then I'm just
this is so dumb.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. All right. So Embiid, just go back to the Magic game
also,
first.
Also, fuck the Hawks. Just to say, because if the Pacers had lost this game, then the Pacers would have been.
Pacers were not going to lose this game. Oh.
But the Pacers have been, Haliburton hasn't been the same since he hurt his hamstring. The Hawks are like, what an embarrassing organization, and more revenge for the Hawks and the Sixers after what happened 3 years ago.
So
disgusting.
So before we get to playoffs themselves,
Trae Young said he's going to listen to diss tracks all before the game. Well, only diss tracks.
Should have listened to old diss tracks.
Only is, diss tracks. My tracks, fucking... they're about dissing. I'm singing to a diss beat.
You listen to fucking Drake and these losers doing diss tracks. You probably I think from the 90s.
I think diss tracks from all time are, I think, a little embarrassing.
That's no. 90s diss tracks.
You guys
amazing.
Are singing.
No, they're
you're
not
singing.
Oh, come on.
You're singing.
Whatever.
I don't know. I think it's all embarrassing. It makes me cringe. All of it does.
Singing, they fucking killed each other in the 90s.
Yes. Well, that's the dangerous part. Yeah. But the dissing at the before the killing, right. That is, I think, embarrassing.
Do you think maybe they should just breakdance fight instead?
Yeah, that's really what it is. Yeah. It's about the same as breakdance. It's cosplay fighting. Now especially, and then I get it,
well,
whatever.
Now
there was
the
more
worst.
Danger to it then. But like, it's still embarrassing. You guys are singing. Straight up singing to song. Dissing to song.
All right.
I think it's embarrassing.
Okay. So to go back to the Orlando game for a second, because it informed a little bit what happened in the Sixers game today, in that Embiid tweaks the knee by landing funny on his ankle. D'Anthony Melton plays 5 minutes in the first quarter, is seen icing his back, does not play another minute for the rest of the game. Nick Nurse, after the game, said D'Anthony Melton, it was a rotation decision and he couldn't get him in there again, which is one of the greatest lies of the last decade. Mm. Insane, just crazy lies. They try to ramp him up by not playing him, which doesn't sound, you know, accurate. So anyway, they sit both guys today. Now, the Embiid one, they say is fine. He is fine. He will play in the next game. However, he did not look the same in the second half as he did in the first half against Orlando. He's going to play. Embiid is what he is. If it's the year, we're just going to have to take our lumps with this sort of stuff. I am particularly concerned about the Melton thing because I think something bad happened and they're just not telling us about it.
That's why his play has gone down.
Well, that's why he played 5 minutes against Orlando and did not play today. I mean, they didn't play him today. So when you're trying to ramp a guy up, it doesn't seem to make sense to me.
I think
to
that
not play him.
They probably thought that odds are they're playing a game on Wednesday, and they wanted to give everybody a full bill of health.
It's a real favorable
mentality.
Yeah, favorable view on
yeah,
what
I mean, well, I just think like this is what was probably going to happen. The Bucks are without Giannis and have been falling into a never-ending hole, and yet might still be the 2 seed. And
the Pacers scored 157 points.
Yeah, and the Hawks can't stop anybody.
Yeah,
the Heat against the Raptors. You know, it was just not. It just wasn't. Wasn't gonna work out, I think. They would have had to get lucky. And I think they were just saying, we're gonna handle business here against a bad Nets team.
Stand on business, as it were.
We're gonna stand on business and we will make sure everybody's healthy going in. Especially like, you know, against non-NBA players, which some of these Nets that played today pretty much are, although I do really like Jacob Gilliard as a player. Shout out Richmond Spiders. Like, you don't want Embiid going up against like Nick Claxton, who's out for blood. You know, they got nothing to play for. Like, there's guys that just want to be a little bit more physical when they're trying to like prove something in their last game of the season. So I don't mind being cautionary as well.
Speaking of injuries, per Dan Olinger, this is a quote from Nick Nurse about will Robert Covington play in the playoffs. Nick Nurse says, no, I don't think so. He hasn't made enough progress to be able to move well enough without pain, which
that
is
sucks.
A real bummer.
That is a bummer.
Yeah. The right streaky... Go ahead.
Would love to get him back on a minimum type contract next year.
To have him watch all the games from excellent seats on the bench as his knee is clearly fucked up and the coach doesn't like him.
Well, take your time.
Yeah.
Take your time coming back.
The Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast is brought to you by LL Pavorsky Jewelers, where Rights to Ricky Sanchez listeners go and get engaged. We're going to have video in a second of one guy who shot and hit a half court shot to win season tickets today. But another Ricky listener, it was two Ricky listeners that hit half court shots to win season tickets, as the other one is an LL Pavorsky guy. Pavorsky sent me the tweets. So a Pavorsky, one of the 390 plus Rights Ricky Sanchez listeners who have bought engagement rings from LL Pavorsky, hit a half court shot tonight to win Sixers season tickets. Now, you're going to win season tickets of life if you go to LL Pavorsky for a engagement ring. If you want to get engaged, there is no other place you can go. There is no other jeweler that is going to treat you with the respect, the kindness, the patience, and the style that LL Pavorsky is going to do. The reason that he wants you to make an appointment and not just show up is so he can spend proper time with you, giving you all of the information that you need and not have to rush to somebody else who just walked in the store. That is the sort of place it is. It isn't one of those jewelers where people walk in and a salesman's right on your ass just trying to upsell you on something else and pressure you. No, Pavorsky is the opposite. He is a good man. He is the first sponsor of the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast, and he gets loud cheers when we go on trips and we introduce him. That's who you want to buy an engagement ring from. Over 390 Rights to Ricky Sanchez listeners have purchased engagement rings from LL. If you'd like to do so, make an appointment 215-627-2252. Lee at llpavorsky.com, at LL Pavorsky on Twitter. He is a supporter of our charities, Providence Animal Center and Mama T's Community Fridge. LL Pavorsky Jewelers.
Mr. Half Court.
So speaking of half court, Mike, I want you to see this. Here is a video of a gentleman about to shoot a half-court shot for season tickets, and look what hat he is wearing.
Amazing.
It is a Ricky hat. Let's see it.
Please, from section 112.
Contestant 112, where the players dwell.
Last but not least.
He walked right up to it?
No, he runs.
Okay.
Takes a couple steps. Boom!
Did that even bank?
No, straight in.
Wow.
Straight in. So we need this guy's name,
absolute
too.
Absolute respect.
Yeah. Ricky hat backwards, amazing.
And Ricky hat backwards, knowing that they would use the reverse angle. First of all, also easier to shoot with your hat backwards, so you don't, in case you release, you don't want to clip any of that hat.
Yep.
Knowing that they would film it from behind.
Now, we've come a long way.
Respect.
As you remember, the final game of the season when Hinkie resigned, somebody tried to do this with a Ricky shirt on with a picture of Hinkie, and he was told to put the shirt inside out, was not allowed to do it. So we've come a long way.
You do it naked.
Yeah. So we'll give you an update right now on
Caruso. Wow.
Fuck. Sixers
it's fun,
up.
Or, it's fun to watch Caruso play defense, man.
Knicks up two. Knicks up 116, 114. Of course, if you're listening to this anytime, but absolutely live, you know what happened.
You really do know for sure, but we don't know. Here's how time works. We don't know. You know.
Yeah. So we're gonna delay a little bit. I want you to see this as well. So a huge day for Tobias Harris. Keith Pompey put out this tweet along with a video that looks like it was recorded under duress. So the tweet says, and I, CJ, can you put it up there so I can read it? The tweet says, with his 13th point today, Sixers forward Tobias Harris passed Hall of Famer Spencer Haywood on the all-time NBA scoring list at number 165. Here's a congratulatory message Haywood had for Harris on passing him on the scoring list. CJ, hit it.
Tobias Harris in passing me on the all-time NBA scoring list. Man, you just had a great career. I love it. And, you know, I picked you guys this year to be in the finals from the East. So congratulations before you get to the finals. But you got the championship and championships in your sight, as well as the Hall of Fame jacket.
Well,
congratulations.
So all due respect to Spencer Haywood, I do not think Tobias is going to be a Hall of Famer. Also, Keith posting congratulations on reaching 165 on the all-time NBA scoring list.
Oh, man.
Keith is in the bag for with Tobias Harris's dad in a way that I've never seen a reporter in the bag for anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, good. I mean, look, good for him. Spencer Haywood, legend.
Yep.
He's I don't think Tobias is going to make a Hall of Fame. I don't think he's going to make an All-Star team. Probably need one of those to get there. Doing like passing, like how far can we go? Can we say like Ricky Council has passed like J.R. Smith's brother, Chris Smith, for like 8,406. That is pretty deep. That is deep to be counting the rankings. But
so the Knicks up.
Congrats, Tobias. Big day.
The Knicks up 4, 118-114, a Bulls full timeout after that. Why don't we just talk about this and then we'll get to the playoffs. Big news, as it was announced yesterday per Shams Charania, and the Sixers then made it official with a tweet, with video, with him signing the contract. The 76ers are converting two-way guard forward Ricky Council IV on a new four-year, $7.4 million NBA contract. He adds $864,000 in new money this season. CEO Adi Von Gontard of Young Money APAA negotiated the deal. Council averaged 5.7 points and 9.3 minutes over 30 games. A great contract for the Sixers. The reason they waited so long, I am figuring out, is that if they wait, they're able to give him more money, in that they're able to pay him his entire two-way contract and then whatever they're left under the luxury tax to give him this year. So that was why they waited, which we would have been nice to know. It's dependent
on the Buddy Hield incentives.
It seems like.
Which is not a thing that we haven't had too many incentives that we've been tracking.
No.
Over the history of this podcast. I don't think it's probably not something that Daryl loves to give out.
No.
Obviously he didn't sign Buddy to this contract. But like the idea that Ricky Council would not have been given a full NBA contract if Buddy shot a little better from three.
40% maybe.
Seems pretty weird.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the best way to run a franchise, to be like, I'm kind of rooting for him to miss a little bit.
Yeah.
That's no good. But this is awesome. Ricky Council is the man. I liked him at Arkansas, but I was pretty low on him as an NBA player because I just thought, even as athletic as he was, I didn't believe in the outside shot, which has definitely gotten better. And I just found it hard to believe that his level of attacking and finish and like getting fouled on those kind of weird mid-range drives, I didn't think that they would translate. And they, in limited time, obviously, absolutely have. And he's improved as a shooter. And he's improved as a passer. He doesn't have as much tunnel vision anymore. Just awesome. Seems like a kid that works really hard, well-liked in the locker room. This rules, man. I love this shit. Like, I'm so happy for him. He was the story that that they had on Liberty Ballers about how he was so pissed after going undrafted that he just told his agent, like, I don't fucking care where I get signed. Just anywhere. Fuck them. I relate to that. That's awesome. And the fact that he's now on a full NBA contract, and obviously there's some team options and stuff in there. It's cool for him. I'm happy for the guy.
Yeah, I believe the contract is favorable toward the Sixers. That is my guess, in that they have signed young players to 4-year deals before that have all been very favorable toward the Sixers.
But this is real money. I mean, this is real money. And once you get breakthrough once, then the odds of somebody else giving you a shot, obviously it's not so much money that the contract isn't, you, even if they do guarantee some of it, it's for sure tradable or a throw in a package as like a young player with upside. Like, he's a really interesting player, man. Like guys with that kind of body and athleticism and willingness to play off ball and work on defense, they don't get fouled at the rate that he gets fouled. He has a knack for it. And it is very intriguing. And to see a role player like that is kind of unique. So I'm excited to see how he develops. I do think there's a real shot, especially if Covington's not going to play. I do think there's a real shot that
he plays some minutes.
He plays some minutes in the playoffs, depending on matchup.
Melton, too. And if somebody's Melton being hurt, too.
Yeah, if Melton is not quite right, like, you know, I think Nick's going to shorten that lineup a lot. But I think there's a chance that he plays, and I'm glad that Nurse has him at his disposal to use him in the right spots.
He was, obviously, this is true, but it was pretty stark with him, because I made the joke, like, I like him, but he's going to have to learn how to either shoot, dribble, or pass at some point. He did make a great pass, but whatever. But then I watched his, after the last game, I watched his college highlight tape, mm-hmm. and you would watch him, and I'd be like, oh, he can do all of those things. Like, I'm watching him dribble past people, blah, blah. Just the difference between college and NBA is just pretty stunning. So Knicks are up 120 to 119 with 13 seconds left, and the Knicks have the ball. So obviously this is going to overtime.
It looks like Caruso's asking for a review right now.
Okay. So why don't we talk about Miami? So the Sixers play the Heat on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
They are
you the wanted the play-in.
I do. Well, so it is like whatever happens here, this is a gauntlet that will be fun for me personally to go from the Heat to the Knicks or the Bucks. You know, so they would eventually have to play Boston as well. Like, this is, this will be, if they go through as the seventh seed, this will be pretty, like, outrageous, the amount of the teams they have to play.
It would be, if they beat Miami, then it's the Heat or the Bucks.
Yep.
And if you win that, then it's the Heat or the Bucks, probably, because the Magic are going to be six.
Yeah.
Or the Pacers are six, and the Magic are five.
Correct. Because the Magic won the division. Oh, and you won that. You won,
that bet.
Yeah, congrats. Bet.
Thank you. I bet Orlando to win the division, and they won by a game, I think, which is very nice.
Yep.
I like that very much. So they're going to have to go through everybody. If they lose to Miami, then they'll be on the opposite side of the bracket and have to face Boston right away, which obviously we would rather not have. I'd rather
shout out MOC who wants
it. I'd rather not do it. I'd rather go through some other teams. I'd rather punch Doc in the face. I mean, Boston's just so much better than everybody else, man. They finished 14 and a half games over, I guess after the next game won't be a half, but like a crazy amount of games in front of everybody. The 2 through 8 seeds are separated by like 3 games.
If Embiid had played his normal 60 or 65 games, Sixers would have won 54 or 55 games this year.
Yeah, they would have been pretty clear.
A clear two seed
for sure.
So
are you worried about Joel's injury? You touched on it a little bit.
Well, depends on which spike you're talking to.
Ooh!
What?
Ball off Josh Hart's knee. Bulls playing tough, man. They're battling. Kobe White.
I
Bulls
think
ball down 1:13 seconds left. Don't tell me what happens. We're on my time. You don't get to look.
Yeah.
Don't say anything.
I'm sorry. It just seems okay.
Don't say it.
It just seems like
we're on Mike standard time.
Okay.
I'm actually watching the games. You're just that guy.
All right.
I use the eye test. Here we go.
All right.
DeRozan, one-on-one Ananobi. Vooch sets the screen.
He's going to miss.
Pull up. Ooh, the ball comes over. Oh, it rims out. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Rims out. I would have expected a pump fake and a draw the foul.
Yeah.
I would have expected a pump fake and a draw the foul, but he got the ball in the rim. It just kind of rimmed out. Tough shot.
The Rice Ricky Sanchez podcast is brought to you by Big Barker Therapeutic Dog Beds. Go to bigbarker.com/Ricky, not only to get your Big Barker Therapeutic Dog Bed, but to get 2 process pup patches. And for the first time, not only do you get 2 process pup patches, they're different. You get a black and white process pup patch that you can iron on to your Big Barker dog bed, or you get the red, white, and blue process pup patch, which is brand new. And you get a couple of process pup stickers. Now, all of that is nice. They're nice extras. The key thing with the Big Barker dog bed is that it keeps your dog healthier. It truly does. And I know it sounds unbelievable. You think a lot about the dog's food and taking the dog to the vet and making sure that the dog gets his or her tick, you know, stuff or whatever to make sure that the tick stuff doesn't happen and heartworm and all that kind of stuff. But the bed that the dog sleeps on is something that you probably never think of in terms of health. It matters. It matters because dogs develop arthritis just like we do as we get older. And if a dog sleeps on a shitty bed, just like you do, dog's going to develop that quicker and the symptoms will be more extreme. If they sleep on a Big Barker dog bed, which is engineered by experts to support your dog's joints, and you can see it when you just look at it, you can see the difference. It will stave off those symptoms. Study by PenVet showed that actually happens. PenVet did a study on Big Barker dog beds and it happens. And I say big barker, it's for dogs of any size. There is the Barker Jr., in case you have one of those tiny little dogs, all the way up to extra large, which could actually fit a human. And they come in all different colors. They come with the headrest, without the headrest. Just fucking, you can get an extra liner in case your dog pees in the bed all the time. Whatever it is, Big Barker Dog Beds, the way to keep your dog healthier and happier. Once again, bigbarker.com/Ricky is where you go. A 10-year warranty, the foam doesn't flatten or they replace it for free. 1-year at-home trial. If you don't like it, they will not only give you a full refund, they will pay for the shipping. Handmade in the USA. Big Barker Dog Beds. So it's the Knicks. Are you not there yet?
I'm not there yet, but I can imagine.
Yeah, it's the Knicks.
The Bulls are fighting though, man. Good for them. Yeah. I mean, the Knicks deserve it. Like, fuck the Bucks, man. Fuck the Bucks.
So Heat.
What an embarrassing display for Doc Rivers. They kick Adrian Griffin out, who is probably a bad coach, but had a good record with them, for Doc Rivers, who absolutely shit the bed. To finish with a losing record the rest of the season, after you took over and said, this is the hardest thing anyone's ever done. Well you did a lot worse than the other guy.
Yeah.
Like, tangibly, provably, a lot worse than the other guy.
Yeah.
And they should feel embarrassed. I hope Adrian Griffin is somewhere cursing Doc Rivers' name, enjoying that. Like, just to bring a guy on as a consultant and then have him knife the guy in the back is so dumb, and they're punished for it. I hope. Look, I've always liked this Indiana team. I really like Haliburton very much. Obviously, TJ's there. A ton of guys we like on that team. I would fucking love Milwaukee to lose to Indiana in the first round.
Remember, Indiana hates Milwaukee. They like, that's a rivalry that has been happening all season.
I like geographic rivalries just as much as the next guy.
Yep.
So the Sixers have the Knicks if they beat Miami
Heat first. So
you can't overlook it. They're gonna have to go through the tough ones.
Milwaukee's falling apart. I would have loved to have Milwaukee because they're falling apart. But fuck it, give me the Knicks. I'm getting out of WIFAN just at the right time, as the war over a Knicks Sixers series would have been outrageous for me, would have been catastrophic. So Sixers play the Heat Wednesday night at Wells Fargo Center. What are your thoughts, Mike? Sixers Heat.
Eric Spoelstra in a one game winner moves on is really difficult.
Even though they lost in the same game last year.
For sure.
Yeah.
He's a really good coach. He's psychotic. The Heat are very good. Jimmy is Jimmy. I really like the Bam matchup for Embiid. He's just bigger, and Bam's not a shooting threat really. So that certainly is helpful, because Embiid hates coming out on shooters. You know, they're going to play their ass off. Haywood Highsmith in everybody's mouth on defense. And, you know, I don't think they have anybody that can really stop Maxey. You always got to be worried about Terry Rozier, who must have the best numbers against the Sixers in his career than against anybody else.
By the way, Sixers open up as a 4-point favorite in the game per DraftKings Sportsbook.
Okay. I think that they should win, but I think that they have not won when was the last time the Sixers won a win or go home game?
I don't know. In my
mind, it feels like the Vince Carter shot.
Well, that Bulls series, the Sixers series. Yeah. That was seven games.
I neglect that team because I just like it so much. That's the answer, I think. But so those are probably the last two times that they've played a win or go home.
Sixers are going to beat the Heat on Wednesday. I'm not worried about it. They're going to beat the Heat.
Whether I am actually nervous, the fact that everybody is saying that the Sixers are the team you don't want to play, Or the fact that I feel a sense of balance to this podcast to be a little bit more measured when you're all in. They certainly should. Miami is not a great offensive team, and Bam is just not big enough to handle Embiid if he's at full strength. And Embiid will have almost, you know, 6 days off before the game since they didn't play today. So they should win. And Maxey's turned a corner. Maxey's better than anybody the Heat have offensively. Like,
by the way, Maxey has gotten better in the last 20 games of 100%. The season. You can see it in the fourth quarters. There, I think it was MOC who wrote an article at writes2rickysanchez.com this week, which you can subscribe to at writes2rickysanchez.com, but just something about the Maxey playoff experience this year. And like, look, let's hope it's more than the two games. But I do think that Maxey has taken a large leap in fourth quarters in
absolutely
when he decides to score. And how about this? If it's going to be the year, Mike, they're going to have to beat the Heat. Like, we're going
to have to go through everybody. Yeah.
They're at home.
There's a chance that they beat the Heat and then end up facing the Heat in the conference finals if the Heat take down Boston, which I'm not ruling out. That'd be a fun series. I would love to watch that series. A Miami Boston first round series would be very fun.
Yeah, I think so.
I like that it's a Kyle Lowry revenge series. Like, you know that Kyle Lowry is thinking like he's a little Terry Rozier over me energy. Because they traded Lowry in a Rozier trade to Charlotte. Charlotte lets him walk. He comes here. You know that he's a little bit like, that's fucked up. So I'm excited to see what Lowry does. Hopefully he does well. It's fun to have smart players to on our side to go against Miami, because it feels like we have not had those since Jimmy got there.
Embiid. This is Joel, like, that other guy on the other team in Jimmy Butler, like, I know they're friends, but you have to beat him.
I know. I need him to like extinguish this.
Yes.
Like, situation. And it has to be we're friends, but
yes,
I'm going to fucking take this.
I'm better than you. Like, I'm better than you. I can will this team to victory. And by the way, like, I'm sick of the whole, oh, nobody wins. Like, if the Heat were that scary, they would just, I don't know, be out of the play-in. I mean, that would be my position. There's no way the Heat, I know people say they're just like, wait around for this. There's no way the Heat like are purposely getting into the play-in than just to beat everybody.
No,
like,
you
cannot allow a team that had their players healthy largely the entire year, who finished behind you, beat you. Absolutely not. And Mike,
Hero missed a lot of time, but I still think they're when it counts in big games, maybe not against like Charlotte or whoever. But I think in big games, they're better when Hero's off the court because of defense. But, you know, you're going to have to watch out for a lot of Duncan Robinson action. They're going to have to stay glued to him. I would love to help as little as possible. If I see anybody help on a fucking Adebayo like post up, I'm going to lose my mind. Like, don't do it. Don't let it. Play it. Play it 10 times in a row.
In front of you.
No help.
Too often,
no
just help. Like stands and watches other guys.
No help.
We may as well try.
No help.
Is it going to work? I don't think it's going to work. It didn't work.
And I hope Miami doubles the shit out of Embiid. And I hope he gets 15 assists. Kick it out to Buddy Hield. Buddy who got very hot for a stretch there today.
Into the third, I think.
Into the third quarter. Hit three in a row. That was fun. Maxey's going to be ready to pull. It'd be really nice if Tobias hit a couple catches or threes.
They're going to beat the Heat, man. They're going to beat the Heat. They're going to beat the Heat.
Stay home because, I mean, who do you want to cover Jimmy?
I would put Batum on Jimmy, to be honest with you. Yeah. Yeah. I think Batum is a combination of moves his feet well and also has like man strength.
Yeah.
Because Jimmy is strong and it's as quick as you want to be. I think you could probably put Oubre on him every once in a while.
And a little bit of Tobias.
Yeah. But Oubre, Jimmy's stronger than Oubre. That's what I would worry about. Like,
the thing that I like, for sure, but the thing that I like about Tobias on him at sometimes is then Tobias doesn't have to cover Duncan Robinson off ball or somebody else that's going to, like, when his head's turned, he's going to cut behind him.
By the way, like, that's when you miss Melton a little bit too, by the way.
Like, yeah, I think Melton's going to play. I think this was a precautionary thing. Whether he's ramped up enough to play more than like 10, 15 minutes is one thing, but like he's helpful to be out there. The first shot he took on his way back was a corner three off an Embiid post up. Like, just willing to get it up fast is huge. They should win this game.
They're going to win the game.
Simple as that. They should win this game. It would be like the fact that it's at home really puts a lot of pressure on the Sixers to win this fucking game.
Yes.
The crowd, if it gets,
oh, the groaning and the booing
the
and
groaning, the groaning is going to be like on maximum.
Yeah,
capacity. The fact that it's essentially a game seven.
Yep.
With Jimmy on the other side.
honestly a little fearful for Tobias. Honestly,
Tobias could miss a shot. He could like rattle in a shot.
Yeah.
It could like bounce off the rim and still go in, and people would be like, watch it. Easy there. He's on the ice couldn't be thinner.
Yeah.
I think this is a good, I think against this team, against this Miami team that MOC made the point is going to send crazy doubles at Embiid like crazy, like wild from the blind side, all that stuff. I think this is a Buddy Hield game. I think this is a, like, you be ready to shoot. You take 8 threes in like 22 minutes. Would be really nice. They got to win this game, man. They got to win this game. They can't win the last 8 games of the regular season and then lose to fucking Miami at home and then go like, okay, you beat Atlanta or Chicago, which is obviously not a guaranteed.
Go lose to Boston in 5.
Go play Boston now.
Yeah.
That can't be it. No. That can't be it. So just beat the Heat and let's, you know, survive in advance.
Should we talk about the Knicks now or should we wait? And are we counting chickens?
I think it's way counting chickens to talk about the Knicks now. We should mention that Kelly Oubre did not get 5 games of 5 assists or more.
Wait, CJ, can you get the video of Nick Nurse talking about Kelly Oubre getting 5 assists? It's on the Ricky feed. There's a Ricky feed.
Very notable. I think that should count as almost a win. But honestly, this to me just means like we know he's capable of it, and it's a little bit of a carrot for next year. Mm. When Kelly resigns on a team friendly deal, he loves it here. He took a pay cut to stay here. I'm already doing the narrative, and he becomes an assist maven next year. He's going to get it in the first 5 games next season, I think.
Here we go. Here is Nick Nurse talking about Kelly Oubre. I think this was Dan Olinger who asked him about his passing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just gives us, again, a little bit more variety. Somebody else that can do something positive at the rim, in the paint. I liked he had a great dump off to Paul Reed for a dunk. Like he only had 2 assists tonight. I know he's been having kind of some games with 5. It's like, to me, then he's really like been playing. Like,
I'm sorry, man.
I mean, they're only going to let him go down.
He is talking about our 5 assist thing.
He's got to be aware of it for sure.
He has to be.
And Kelly was aware of it too.
Yes.
Everybody's aware.
He has to be. Speaking of Kelly, once again, I will mention, this is the last time, the year Ricky playoff shirt. We do a playoff shirt every year. There it is. Go to the link in the description of this podcast to purchase, or if you're watching live, we put it in the chat. It is from Scheib Vintage Sports. It also has the Ricky logo on the back up top right under the neck. Only available until midnight, sort of inspired by an Oubre tattoo on his leg. The Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast is brought to you by Kornblau and Kornblau, the official law firm of The Process. I always forget, what was your camp relationship with Kornblau? Was he a counselor when you went to the camp?
He was, and he was also a counselor when I believe I was a CIT.
Okay.
Like I was like 13 or something.
And do you remember him practicing law back then?
Yes, nonstop. One of the, we skipped like, Nuke him one time just to be like, okay, hang on, we got to learn about some personal injury law.
Kornblau and Kornblau is the premier personal injury law firm in the Delaware Valley. He does have a passion for this stuff. I remember the first time I talked to Kornblau, the look in his eyes when he talks about this, he takes pride in the work that he does. Kornblau and Kornblau has been there for 40 years. His parents started the law firm 4 decades ago. And right now they just kick ass. They have offices all over the Delaware Valley. I think their primary office is there in Jenkintown, but you don't even have to go to any of them. He will come to you. And any sort of injury, whether it's slip and fall, injured at work, car accident, medical malpractice, which they specialize in, they are going to take good care of you. It doesn't cost you anything at all just to reach out to them, whether you call 215-576-7200 or email Kornblau, KORNBLAU at kornblauandkornblau.com. But the most important thing is this: when you reach out, you're going to get him. And I know that sounds crazy. Of course you're going to get him if you reach out to the law firm, but it's not really the case. Most of these law firms, the personal injury law firms you see advertise, the person you see or hear, that person isn't even going to take the case, isn't going to practice law in your state. They're just going to refer you to someone else. And that's not what you use this for. This is a tough thing. Personal injury lawsuits take a long time. They're very complicated. And you need somebody who is passionate about it, who's going to communicate with you, and who is going to answer the phone. And Kornblau and Kornblau is that. Once again, give them a call, 215-576-7200. Ask for Adam, or email kornblau@kornblauandkornblau.com. Kornblau and Kornblau, the official law firm of The Process. Now, Mike, I know you don't like when I nail you down on this. You keep
nail
saying
me, baby. Let's go.
You keep saying they should beat the Heat. They are 4-point favorites. My question for you is, will they beat the Heat? Obviously, you know, you don't know, but like, if you had, you know, guns to your head again.
If we were doing a live show right now, I would have to say yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm trying to think of like, I'm putting myself in the future. When I fill out like a March Madness bracket, I sometimes like try to pull myself in the future and try to like imagine like, what is it going to be?
Yeah.
Like I'm looking at the Final Four, like who's it going to be there?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know. There's just fucking wizardry happening in Miami every year around this time. And they absolutely should fucking win. And I really want to see Miami-Boston as a series.
Yep.
I really want to see that. I can't guarantee it. I'm happy for you to guarantee it, but I have to protect myself a little bit. Every playoffs, Alyssa starts doing the like, hey, just like temper your expectations. Like, let's not try to be like, she's trying to like guide me to a safer.
We own the house now. You can't put your foot through a wall.
Everybody relax. It's all going to be fine. You know, Embiid's going to get injured sometimes. It happens. It's okay. That was a scary injury, but I was in that moment. I was like, he's fine. Even though he ran to the locker room right away, I was like, I think he's fine. I think he's going to come back.
But
obviously you were right. And as we all knew, 100%.
He wasn't going to play today.
Yeah. Classic doesn't play the next game. Plays the rest of one game, doesn't play the next one.
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah.
A Sixers classic.
Dude, I got people when I tweeted that. I tweeted like, be prepared for Embiid not to play on Sunday. Everybody's like, you're too negative. And I'm like, look, I'm going to be positive this time. I'm going to say he's fine. I did say, like, it did look like he walked to the locker room fine. He didn't limp to the locker room. But there was no way he was playing this game after that happened. Absolutely. So you asked me if I was worried about Embiid. Are you worried about Embiid?
I wasn't then. No, I don't think I am. I think I'm good. I think on the Embiid front, I think I'm good. I think he has looked pretty damn good in his return. Better than, maybe a little bit better than I expected, although my expectations were pretty high. It's those drive to the rim, get fouled type moments where he can finish strong through contact.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that I'm like, are we going to fully get that back? And in playoff environments, like, you know, that second jump, that like, you know, working through contact, they're trying to sell the fouls. It's, you know, I would obviously a bunch of things. I just really hope he doesn't get hurt during the playoffs. I really, 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 really hope it.
Yeah,
I feel so fucking sad for him. We didn't talk about it, but him talking about like the depression that he went through, like the amount of injuries as he's trying to take care of his body, as he's trying to like carry this franchise through all the turmoil that they've been through for the last decade. I just can't, like another injury, and obviously he came back and he looks pretty fine and they have a shot, but like, I just feel for the guy so much, and every team probably, every fan base probably feels it, but like, because of how many times he has failed, a lot of which were not his fault. Some of which were, obviously last year I put a lot of it on Embiid, even though he did have the sprained knee and came back from it quick. But like, I just want it for him so bad, dude. I want it for him. I want him to be like healthy. I want him to have like the playoff run. How far they get remains to be seen. It's going to be a tough road no matter what. I just really want it for the dude. We've been around him for so long. He's been here. He's like an incredibly unique, singular character in Philadelphia sports history. And I just want him to cement his name like on the, this guy fucking did it in the playoffs. I don't want to take it away from him. I don't want that to be a thing that he gets dinged by forever.
Well,
I really want it for the guy.
And this will sound more negative than I mean it to be, but I want to be able to judge his playoff performance on its own merit without any caveats. you know, about him getting, well, he got hurt in game three, he missed game four, but then he came back in game five and he wasn't quite himself. I just want to be able to celebrate him or criticize him based on his play and his play alone. And I do want it for him. I think that of Philadelphia athletes in my lifetime, he is the one. He is the one who I've wanted to succeed more than any other one, you know, for a number of reasons. And I would love for him to happen, for it to happen. And it did seem like, and it has seemed like he has reached another level this year and has sort of a comfort with everything around him, even with how he plays. And it's amazing with Nick Nurse coming in and them changing how he plays, he seems more comfortable. You know, we didn't talk about it, but he threw a few passes in that first, the first half against Orlando that were fucking outrageous.
Really nice. He's really getting into that, like back to the basket, bounce pass with a cutter. Those are really nice passes.
Well, and the one he threw to Oubre in the corner that was like a, it's like he curved it or something, like a bowling ball. He whipped it. So
that felt Jokic-y.
I would like to see it as well. And I think we're going to see it.
Kevin Love did get hurt today. Left the Heat game against the Raptors, the win. With an arm injury, and Terry Rozier and Duncan Robinson are still out with no clarity per Ira Winderman.
We're definitely going to lose on Wednesday. Sorry, I take it back.
They're going to play 4-5. They're going to run a 1-2-1 zone.
If any team would do it, it'd be the fucking
Heat.
That's
true. Yeah. That's true. Just to psych you out.
I'm not going to ask for playoff predictions until this is set. So if the Sixers win on Wednesday, we'll do it on Wednesday for the rest of the playoffs, so on and so forth. And we won't talk about the Knicks game, as you said. Go ahead.
If it's the year.
Yes. They win.
God willing, it's the fucking year. This is the last regular season podcast that we're doing. I really want it, man. I really want it. I really want it. Who was I talking about this with? So we've had this. I sold a movie that Emma Stone is going to star in. It's crazy. It's very exciting.
Congratulations.
I've been holding. Thank you.
It said she was in talks.
Yes, she's in talks. Yes,
are you giving us a scoop?
No, there's no scoop. I don't know. Okay. There's all these industry terms. I don't know. Whatever.
Okay. All right.
The
scoop.
No scoop. No, don't aggregate me.
Hashtag deadline. Hashtag listen to the Ricky.
I was, because this, we've known this for a little bit, and it takes a while to like, you know, for the report to come out and all that stuff, and the PR people, blah blah blah. Michael Weber, the Spike Lee of the Rice Ricky Sanchez, is producing the movie, which is great. We love him. And like, the knowing when they told me that it was going to come out on this day, that the movie news is going to come out, and then the Emma news, and Emma and her husband, Dave is in talks to direct it.
By the way, shout out to Deadline for including the rights to Ricky Sanchez in your biographical information.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. My manager
truly made it.
My manager was like, what's the name of your podcast? And I was like, here we go. Let's see if they do it. Let's see if they say it. And they did say it. And so I'm happy for you that got in there. Otherwise the movie might've been banned.
Yep.
But like, as we were sitting with this, and I was like, there's too many good things happening right now. If this news breaks right before the Sixers playoff run, it will either propel us into it being the year, or it is entirely my fault that it is not. That's the level of like guilt and responsibility that I feel with it.
Yeah.
That's the level of that's riding on this for me. Is that I will either take full responsibility that finally this thing gets announced, and it's like, that's the, you know, everybody commenting on Instagram, Zoe leading the way, like it, this being the year, it's so the year, or I fucking made it about myself and the Sixers didn't like that. So it's either my fault or because of me. So I'll stand in front of that moving train.
I like it.
I hope it's the year, man. I really do. I really do.
It's the year. The hard to stomach YouTube comment of the week, this comes from @quapped, says two questions. Who needs a quote producer for a fucking YouTube podcast? Two, why does said producer look like an extra from that 70s show?
Why does it be an extra?
Yeah.
A leading role, I think.
Yeah.
My two thoughts. One, he got my ass. Good work. Two, great emoji usage, like very on brand for LeBron with the slapping the face with like the slanted laughing emoji.
Yeah, like he's laughing so hard he can't even keep his head straight.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And then the extra, like that's such an extra dig to add in there for whatever reason. This guy doesn't know me. Yeah. I don't know
him. You wouldn't be allowed to talk. You talk on the podcast. You should talk on the show.
Yeah. Come on, I can handle some lines in that show.
I believe it.
833 Lickface is the voicemail number. Do a couple of these, couple emails, and then get out of here. Here we go.
Hey guys, it's John from San Diego. Do you think that Doc Rivers is secretly happy that Giannis might be out for the playoffs? Don't you think this is like a built-in excuse that Doc just loves? Thank you.
Well, I think if they lose, he will absolutely blame that, whether Giannis is out or not. I think Giannis will probably play.
Yep. I don't know. The calf thing is wild, like because the Achilles and it attaching to everything else. And my friend Ben Thompson of Stratechery, who is not only the biggest Bucks fan I know, but a total fucking psycho, seems to think that it is bad news for Giannis, as the calf has bothered him for a while, and he might not play in the playoffs at all. So
I would be surprised.
Yeah,
I would be surprised if he didn't play. Okay. I think he's just a guy that plays. Obviously, I'm not a fucking doctor. I'm not getting in there. What if I had like inside information about Giannis's calf? That'd be so funny.
Yeah.
That's such a random thing for me to have.
What if you were a doctor?
That would help a lot of things. Yeah, that would help a lot of things if I've been hiding that. I just think he's a guy that plays. But regardless, yes, Doc absolutely is going to use this as an excuse. He is going to use everything as an excuse. Mm-hmm. He will not take any responsibility. That's not what he does. I would love if the Pacers beat him in the first round. Both because they ducked the 2 seed so that they could face the Pacers.
Yeah.
And now they get to, they lose to them. And also then I don't have to have the, truly, because I am absolutely scared money, the fear
of losing to Doc?
Of losing to Doc would end my life. I mean, it would be over. It would be so, obviously beating him would be, feel so good. Losing to him would feel worse than beating him would feel good.
Oh, I disagree.
The fear of losing to Doc Rivers in a playoff series 1 year after he left would absolutely give me the yips in every aspect of my life.
The life yips?
I'd have the life yips. I wouldn't be able to handle it. Beating him would feel satisfying. I would love it. It would feel like the end of Shawshank. Like I would be on a beach. Everything would be beautiful. Salvation, freedom, what a satisfying thing. But the culminating this era, obviously more to come, and Maxi has stretched the window by a lot, with a loss to the Doc Rivers Bucks when Giannis is banged up and Dame is like old as piss, like that would be, and Pepev talking his talk, that would be so brutal.
You are scared money right now.
100%, dude. I'm not going to front, like I'm not. I'm 100% honest. I would, the fear of losing, when I play, I hate losing more than I like winning, for sure. And so, again, I can't even mention that. I sometimes play. I didn't even talk about, I'm not even telling a story.
Mike playing basketball.
At least you got it right. Sign me. So I just, but I, it would really, I would love for him to lose. And so we could feel like, oh, what a beautiful off day treat it is for us to watch Doc Rivers lose.
Lose, yeah.
And then we can go back to the Sixers. So, but obviously, the salvation would feel good, but I'm too scared of the negative outcome. That is what I'd be worried about. But what were we even talking about?
I don't know. This came from Rusty, writes RickySanchez@gmail.com. No one likes a grammar police, but Mike thought, quote, borrowing a dog sounded bad. The definition includes the intent to give it back. The far bigger crime was Mike saying you, quote, borrow a pack of sugar. In what world are you giving back that of sugar? You don't borrow a pack of sugar. Rusty.
That's fair. I think it's a fair hit.
Yeah.
Well, the idea of borrowing, let me just use your dog for a quick sec.
Yeah.
Borrow to use. I guess like borrow like a straightener or like a borrow a jersey or something.
Yeah.
Makes more sense because you will give it back. But borrow dog to use it for like what gain?
To get a girl's phone number. It's like like a real rom-com shit.
Still
man.
A little bit weird. Just say it's rom-com just shit. Just say you're dog sitting.
Is that is that what the Emma Stone movie is going to be about?
Oh.
Somebody who borrows a dog?
We can guess it. It's so funny when they say like the plot details are under wraps. I'm like, under wraps from... I
from
guess.
Who? Yeah.
I don't know. When I wrote it, it wasn't under wraps. I was just fucking writing it.
833 Lickface is the voicemail number.
Hey, guys. Tim from Tom's River. Look, I'm on board. I'm all in. This has to be the year. That said, I don't know if we can let Spike exonerate himself now after all he's done, including potentially not even watching the team this year. You know, now he's all in. So I just think that needs to at least be said. Here's the thing. You keep using this Charlie Brown analogy. It's not going to work out for us. We can't be Charlie Brown. We got to be fucking Peppermint Patty or somebody else who doesn't even kick the football. Just get out. Just fucking laugh from the side. I don't know. But you can't be Charlie Brown anymore. Mike, you're a playoff motherfucker, man. You got to get on board. It can't be if. It can't be wait until the semis. It can't be and be this healthy. It's just we got to get on now. It's playoff time. Regular season's over. Okay. There is no off season. There's nothing else left. We got to be a fucking Red Baron or something, but we're not going to be doing podcasts in the dark. Not this year. You know, we got to run the table. This is the year to do it. Let's go. Let's go.
Not this year. No podcast in the dark when CJ got me this big light. Calling
us both out. I have to pay for my crimes, which I don't even know what they are. I guess aside from not watching the team, which everybody got mad at me for watching the team.
Yeah.
And then you for being coward.
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
This being the same year, if this is the year that they make the run and it's the same year that Harden started on the team with Daryl Morey as a liar would be a real journey. Would be a real, you had to get, there's been so many bottoms in the history of this podcast that it was hard to know which was rock bottom, like which
the
was
real rock.
When
bottom.
Was it there?
Yeah.
And maybe
it was the Ben pass.
Yeah. This is an off season topic. Hopefully an off season topic for when we have reached the mountaintop, or at least
we'll do it from Broad Street.
At least a mountain, not even the top of the mountain.
Oh, well, there's going to be a Broad Street parade if they beat a good team in the playoffs. Are you kidding me? Yeah,
that'd be good.
Does the Knicks count?
Oh, absolutely, the Knicks count. Honestly, like Miami counts. Like this winning one game, beating Miami in 3 days would be the best win of this Sixers era.
Like, Jesus.
That's why
I wanted the play-in, by the way. That's why I wanted Miami in the play-in. Imagine that energy.
You got it.
So this
what was the thing we say to you now? How about now, Spike?
How about now?
How about now, Spike? All right. So now? We'll see. Well, next podcast we'll see what how about now indeed.
This came from Ben, writes to RickySanchez@gmail.com. Today I discovered the hilarious clash of the two main podcasts I listened to when it was made public that WFAN was trying to hire Stu Gatz from the Dan Le Batard show to replace Spike. And furthermore, for Stu Gatz to say Spike had him less sold on the job after talking with him, LMAO, I hope we get some more clarification on the next pod. So it is true that WFAN was talking to John Wiener, aka Stu Gatz, from the Dan Le Batard show for my job. I don't think I did anything to make him not want the job more. My only thing to him is that the job was not all fun and games, that it was a real job with a lot of emails and salespeople and meetings. And I just wanted him to know that. And I actually screenshotted my calendar and texted it to him to show him. So that was it. So he did not take the job though, and he won't be getting the job. So God bless. So your other favorite podcast can remain as it is. And this is, here we go. Final one, 833 Lickface.
Hey guys, it's time to have a pretty uncomfortable but serious conversation about Tyrese Maxey. This guy is ascending into true stardom. He's a clear number two. Whatever we want to talk about in the offseason when it comes to Paul George or any other thing, Maxey is by far the clear two. And I think people need to realize if he has another year like this past season, or this current season, I should say, where let's just say he plateaus and stats are the same and game is the same, he is firmly in Devin Booker territory when we're talking about ranking ball dominant guards. Booker's first all-star appearance is when he was 23. He has identical stats to Maxey. And you can argue different teams, yada, yada, whatever, but Tyrese Maxey is in that conversation of elite combo guards, elite ball dominant guards, and it needs to be discussed. And I would love to know what you guys think.
Why is that an uncomfortable conversation? That seems like one of the more comfortable conversations we've ever had.
Sounds like a great comment. I'm comfortable as hell.
I think if Maxey, the thing about Booker is that he has had outrageous playoff games.
Yeah.
Outrageous playoff games. He's also bigger than Maxey. But I think if Maxey has some outrageous playoff games, I think the talk of him being top 15 or so, that is completely legitimate, I think. You kind of shake it. When you get to like 11 is when it starts getting squirrely, is when guys can start being all over the place. And that's when, I don't know, I think he can be top 15, top 20 if he has some outrageous playoff games. You?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think... As far as the full season goes, and obviously like his efficiency went down some when it was him having to do everything without Joel. And I think it is a little bit part of why I don't think I would vote him all NBA, even with 15 positions that don't positionless spots, is because they just didn't succeed that much without Joel. And so it took his like, okay, you're not one of the 15 best players in the league if you're like a 37 win team, if you're the best player, I think. But that's not an indictment on the guy. He's grown in huge ways over this season, and I think he'll be better because of it. The fact that the Sixers treaded water enough, although, man, you win one more game and they're hosting a playoff series. One more game and they're hosting a playoff series. Those late ref calls and a couple bad losses, Memphis and Brooklyn and a couple other ones. Those will sting, but I think Maxey's the man. He's going to get paid as much money as they can possibly give him this offseason. I hope he's here forever. The fact that, you know, Paul George could come here and be the like,
no, not allowed.
Guy's great. We won't do it. Yeah. No, I don't want to do it. It's fine. But yeah, I think anybody that comes here, Maxey will not take a back seat. If anything, it'll be like, less Joel operating, having to do so much creation, basically.
So, yeah. Before we go, seems like some bad news, RE D'Anthony Melton. So why don't we play this clip that Dan Olinger, the Ricky's Dan Olinger got. Here's Nick Nurse after the game talking about whether D'Anthony Melton can play in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I've always had concern with him, right? I think it's a tough deal. It's kind of the second time we've gone through holding him out, trying to treat him, getting him to a place where he thinks he can play. He played a couple games, then he went out again for a long stretch. We bring him back, he plays one game, and he's out again. I just think it's very difficult. I mean, I think we're in the same situation. They're going to continue to treat him, try to get him better. Hopefully this is we're hoping for a long run here. So there's still always time, and as this goes, to get him back and have him be a factor in this thing. But it is concerning. Yeah.
So that sounds like you don't expect him to be available Wednesday, or is that kind of?
Yeah, I don't want to like say either way, but I would imagine that two things. One, he has a probably a bit of a journey to get there for Wednesday. Like some things got to go well. And two, he hasn't played much, right? So it's not time to be working guys back into the fold, right? But as a series goes on, if we're fortunate enough to get into one and time goes on, you never know, right?
Not.
Can they get him a better microphone?
Not particularly optimistic. It's not him. It's Dan. Dan's got to get closer or something. Some of them are better.
They used to like lay the microphones down on the table.
Right on top. Yeah.
I don't do that.
Yeah. Fucking stop tweeting for 2 seconds, Dan, and go put your phone.
Lay a fucking thing. Or get a secret microphone, an actual microphone, like a real journalist or something.
If Olinger wants a microphone so he can go stand up there right next to Nurse, we'll pay for it.
Real deal. Actually, get a fucking boom. Like the 20-foot extender.
Yes.
Shove it right in his face.
Yeah.
If I have to speak good microphone shit, then so should he.
Is that what the movie is about? The plot, yes. The highly guarded plot?
Yeah.
Is it young?
Under wraps. I'll unwrap it for you. And it's another microphone. It's another fucking wire in this goddamn setup I got here. That's the movie.
Well, we will talk to you Wednesday night. Sixers fucking Heat. One more, last chance, Mike. Are they going to win? Last chance before we go.
I think that they will win.
All right. There we go.
I mean, to finish with the third best point differential in the East
is wild.
With as many games as Joel missed, he played just under half a season. They're a good team. They're a balanced team. Even withstanding these injuries, they're a really balanced team. I want it for him, man. I want it for B-Ball Pauls, so his contract kicks in.
There we go. Well, they would have to do more than win yes, Wednesday.
Well, you know, we're getting there. Guess first start somewhere.
Yep.
I want it to be the year, man. I want it to be the goddamn year. And there is something to be said for a little Phillies-esque, which we mentioned before, play-in, wild card round type of thing. Everybody else gets a little cold. Joints start to seize up a little bit.
Yep.
Sixers stay not playing too many games, just one.
Yep.
But stay fresh, stay active, brains locked in, engaged. They don't have to travel much. Again, even if they win this game, they go to New York. That's not a plane ride. That's an easy travel day. Things are lining up. You know, difficult opponents, but they got to do it, man. They got to do it. It's got to be the year. It's got to be it.
All right. We'll talk to you Wednesday night. There we go. There we go. Go take a shower, buddy.
I should.
Are you down with TTP?
Yeah, you know, like this.
If you don't fuck with me, then I won't fuck with you.
If you don't fuck with me,
then I won't fuck with you.
But if you fuck with me,
I'm gonna fucking kill you!
Time for plan B.